hungry for adventure?
Do you crave hilarious and perilous tabletop campaigns?
Don't bother rolling perception, pal. We've got you covered.
Behold, Dungeons and Doritos, Nerdy Show's epic tabletop audio drama, a cinematic serial of mayhem-filled, morally questionable quests at DungeonsandDoritos.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Boar.
And with us, very special guest.
Oh, hey, I'm Neofaust. What's up?
Ha, Neofaust from Derpy Show, who,
sure,
shockingly, it's been not so very long since you've been
on an episode on Derpy Show.
Yeah, it's strange. That was like, what, a few months ago?
It was week? 2 months ago. Derpy
months,
Show 300.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, 300 episodes. Congratulations. Yeah. A momentous event.
Yeah. My memory doesn't do well for me. At that age, I forget where I am and who you people are.
Well, since it's been a while since we've caught up with you on Nerdy Show, what's nude?
New for
you
me.
What's nude?
Nude.
I did think you said what's nude.
I did say what's nude.
Good question.
What kind of animals?
Millions of people all over the globe.
Yeah. What are we truly naked? Is it a physical form or is it an expressionate form?
It's a mole rat.
Oh.
That's as nude as it gets.
No, you can't get any. Well, you could skin a naked mole rat, as my dad used to say, but you can't skin your mother.
Has anyone ever made a porn parody of the Jack Nicholson film As Good As It Gets called As Nude As It Gets? And why not?
It would work. Yeah, I'm surprised. You know, there's got to be
good
somebody.
Good times, noodle salad.
Yeah.
I've looked it up and no one's made it.
Oh, tragic.
So,
simply tragic.
You're good to go.
I don't know if As Good As Your Gets references are going
to
play out.
It's a little bit to the right field. I don't know if anybody,
I've never seen the movie. Is that the one with the monkey and it drives a van? Or a truck?
Yeah, totally.
And his name's Dunstan.
Nailed it. That's exactly it.
And they go in a hot air balloon and rescue a dog or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would truly love if someone could splice together those two films. Yeah.
I don't know anything about what I just said.
It's in the continuous universe of Air Bud, too, so they have like stories that intertwine with each other.
Is that the one where he's a football player or a soccer player?
Sure, both. Yeah, sports ball.
The Animal Hijinks cinematic universe, yeah.
Yeah, it all ties. Yeah. Well, like a Homeward Bound was the beginning of the whole
It's universe. The Marvel universe. That dog ends up being in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sure.
Oh Cosmo.
Yeah. Cosmo.
Yeah.
I mean, why do you think he's so friggin' smart?
Oh, nails it.
Cool.
So if he's so smart, how did he get caught by the collector?
Yeah, what's his question? We keep getting derailed.
What's good, honey britches?
Oh, okay. So new for me last time on the show. I'm currently in process of changing jobs right now. So spent the last few months outside the country in sandy regions as usual. I'm changing over to more of a local CONUS job, I guess is the technical term.
CONUS.
Continental U.S. It's a military abbreviation.
Oh, I thought it was like a cone in your anus.
So I always,
get out the CONUS.
What's the other terms I use is like simply when I'm downrange and people are like, what do you mean by downrange? It's like, oh, it's a military use for being deployed overseas somewhere. It's when you hear somebody
all
say,
these
downrange.
Sound very sexual to me.
Yeah, sexual and also. I deployed downrange, baby.
You're deployed over the seas?
Yeah, over the seas. Yeah,
it's why not wait till you land?
So he knows a lot about the cloud people.
Yeah, mostly about the cloud people.
Is that where the cloud exists?
Well, I work for the Illuminati, so that's as simple as that. So, yeah.
Hashtag Illuminati.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Beyonce.
I only work for the Illuminati.
Naughty. Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to see if that website exists.
Most likely. But yeah, no, I've finished up one long deployment there, and now joining to change over to another job. It has me more local up in the Boston region, so I'm going to be there more stateside more often, unless they send me elsewhere. But this time won't be in any hazardous regions. So,
well, cool. I hope you don't die, and which it sounds like more likely than not. And I hope that you're on the show more often.
Guys, Illuminati's on Urban Dictionary.
Oh yeah,
yeah. What is it?
A secret order amongst many college campuses that film pornography with incoming frosh and sorority pledges. What the hell's a frosh?
Freshman.
Really? Why not fresh? Why is there an O?
I don't know, man. That's just stupid terminology.
However, this pornography
use.
Is not for sale or redistributed, but is simply archived for a rainy day.
One must believe completely what Urban
Where is
says.
This archive?
Yeah, someone
it's
has the archive.
It's locked away in the Skull and Bones dormitory or
oh,
whatever.
Oh, that makes sense.
I saw that kick-ass thriller, the Skulls.
Wasn't there like multiple sequels to that?
There was, direct-to-video. Just like Donnie Darko 2 and American Psycho 2.
Oh, no. I didn't know any of those existed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Oh yeah.
Also,
ooh,
Illuminati, also known as the Triangle of Love. And I'm not going to read to you what that is.
Whoa, whoa.
It's a sex
Hold
act.
On.
You'll look it up later.
Brandon.
I'm not going into
you
it.
You have resistance to read to something yeah. so...
It must be so bad.
It must yeah. be.
It's actually kind of underwhelming and boring, so I'm skipping.
Okay, well,
I'm
good.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Wait, hype it up
I've already closed the window.
Wait,
sorry.
Hype up the mystery. Nice.
Already closed it.
But, you know, yeah. maybe when you do read it and you are disappointed, you can go to the bedroom with a few friends and invent something better and then write us and tell us about it. Okay,
make sure
thanks.
You update the Urban Dictionary entry.
Take a video.
That's yeah. what we need. We need a like a Dear Nerdy Show confessional thing that we'll read. So if you want to send in any like confessional stories.
Dear Nerdy Show, I love
yeah,
gadget.
Yeah, yeah. It can be like a whole section.
How are they going to submit that to us anonymously? We don't really have an anonymous thing
gadget
set up for us.
Is that Serhaha thing everybody's using?
People still use that?
I don't know. It just wasn't there something before that that was the same thing?
Yeah, FormSpring.
FormSpring, and then before that, there was something else. I remember like LiveJournal had something like that too.
Yeah,
LiveJournal. Yeah,
and DeadJournal. I was the DeadJournal user.
Wait, well, there was a journal called DeadJournal?
And there's Insane Journal for the RPers, yeah.
Is that for like ICP users?
RP, no. Insane, maybe. I don't know. There's Hatchets.
Is there magnets?
Hatchets Ahoy's and magnets
with
and
ICP?
Clowns Abound.
Juggalo right? Journal.
Yeah. but no, they, you could set that up as anonymous, quote unquote.
True.
But there's ways of tracking.
I don't know. Are you interested in an anonymous confessional submissions? Then
I think we'd have to set up the submission thing before they would even be able to tell us. Because
that's what I was angling at.
No, yeah. anonymously, yes. That's what this post is. Just like some
Dear Nerdy
thing.
Show.
Make up a fake email address and email it to
yeah.
us.
I used to take my He-Man action figure and my She-Man action figure.
There's no She-Man.
You mean She-Ra?
Brandon S. Yes. Well,
well, I mean, unless you got the like the off-brand like Soviet like rip-off toys, yeah.
I only had the guy who looked like a skunk.
Stinkor.
And is what's his name?
Stinkor.
Stinkor. Stinker.
Stinkor.
Oh,
Stinkor.
Like you're a stinker.
Like Skeletor, but Stinkor.
That's
yeah.
Stupid.
They put ors
that's
at the end of
a,
characters'
that's
names.
A dumb name.
Yeah.
Stinkor.
It was a regional thing.
Yeah, I had that guy. He is dumb as shit.
Well,
so stupid
I mean,
looking.
Did I mean was he a proper stinkor whose plastic actually stank?
I think
oh,
he's
goodness
wait
that,
what
that's
could
the
be
kind
arranged.
Of stuff that they would do back then.
I remember
they
that
did do it. That is real.
Oh, the scratch and sniff stupid
I just
stuff?
Remember
oh,
his
no.
head was like rubber and you could push it in and smush it like
oh
you could with the He-Man action figure.
Like
they
a
had,
nipple
they had hollow heads made out of rubber. You could smush them and do really funny things. I still have them. Well,
where,
I have a few of them.
Where
like
bring in Stinkor.
My
wanna,
other house.
In a box somewhere.
I want to see how
they're,
Stinkor held
they're
up.
Several hundred miles away if no one's thrown them out.
I'm sure they have.
Yeah, they probably have.
Hey, speaking of things that are totally relevant, like He-Man, Turok, right? Am I right?
Turok.
What? The dinosaur hunter?
The dinosaur hunter, yeah.
In 64 hipsters, maybe, yeah. They're,
yeah, they're I was just talking to somebody, I can't remember who, about Turok the other day, talking about how great Turok 3 was and how no one paid attention.
That was arena battle, though. That's the thing. There was no story to that.
No. There was a Turok arena thing.
Yeah,
Turok 3 was actually the most narrative game they ever had, where you could choose between two players and you like jump through multiversal portals every
yeah.
level. Every level was completely themed differently.
I just remember playing
it
a terrible one
narrative.
That was like
oh,
Doom
wow.
and it wasn't good. It was very... I don't know. It was
well, because I remember like there was Turok 1, Turok 2 for N64, and the third one that came out was like this weird like you. There wasn't a story, but you can play multiplayer and fight other computer.
Yeah, no, that
things.
That was the thing that happened,
yeah.
and it was the third Turok release.
Oh, okay, so I'm getting stuck in
but
my
it was
mind.
Not,
about that, yeah.
It was not Turok 3.
Turok
Shadow
I mean,
of
yeah.
Oblivion. Turok
oh,
3.
Okay, that was like what Xbox 360?
No, it was late N64. It used
wow.
the expansion cartridge to up the
oh.
graphics.
Okay, wow, I didn't play that at all.
But there's some Turok news. Finally, I was wondering, you know, who the hell owns the rights to Turok? Because that was a claim before.
Yeah, claim or...
And they're dead, so...
Activision probably bought them?
Well, apparently not,
oh,
because
no.
Turok 1 and 2 are being re-released for Xbox One
Ooh.
By something called Night Dive Studios right now.
Re-released? Are they going to, like, completely redo it?
They are not.
Upgrade the graphics?
Oh.
Like they did with Half-Life?
Is the draw distance going to be increased?
No, it is not.
What?
These are
Turok 1 is one of the hardest games. You have like 3 lives.
They'll probably
lives.
Increase the resolution and put some anti-aliasing on it and be like, done.
Yeah, I mean, if you want a proper throwback experience, it looks pretty good. But
no, it doesn't look pretty good. It's Turok 1. You won't be able to know what's a door or an enemy shooting at you.
It looks pretty good, which is to say, it looks really bad. But
there are mods that have better graphics, like you can just add on.
There's people that take the ROMs and like upgrade the graphics. They did it with GoldenEye, I think, for N64.
Oh, yeah, they'll do like texture replacements and model
I'm looking at Turok 1 images. The draw distance is about 5 feet, and then there's just fog.
I just remember being scared by raptors out of like the mist in that
game. It was amazing.
You just had a knife. You're just like, see, raptor.
You're complaining about the draw distance here, but that is atmosphere is what that is.
Yes, not in the second game. The second game, they didn't need that.
The second game is preposterously difficult and not fun.
What? The game's great. You get the blade you can throw out.
Yeah, I was obsessed with just like heads exploding and just.
Oh,
like,
it had cool shit. The blade. I like the
second game because I think you could save your progress and actually like make your
cool
way through
that.
The game. Yeah. The first game, you die after a few times, you start all over, and it's like a 50-hour game that you die like 3 lives.
Goodness, yeah, I have fond memories of that game and like Blood as well too. The two of them were just hand in hand in my memory. It was just violence.
I remember the cerebral bore.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember that too for some reason. It bored into my brain.
Yeah. But unfortunately, Turok 3 is not on the docket for this. I don't know why.
Because I thought it wasn't good.
It should not languish in obscurity. So I just wanted to mention that cool Turok is back, kind of, because I think that's a property that not even these original games, which I have nostalgic feelings for, which are not backed up by any sort of real quality, but they have so much potential, much like the premise of Cadillacs and Dinosaurs, the old comic book / animated series and so on that never really went much of anywhere past the early 90s.
Wasn't Turok originally a comic or something?
It was,
It was
I have issue one.
You know what,
it's
Brandon?
It's worth nothing.
Lots of people have issue one.
Yeah, I know.
It was during
like a shiny powder.
Y'all want to buy this Death of Superman comic and it worth $100? No,
I have like 3 of them.
Mint package. We can buy it for $500? No,
Made out of mint.
I'm not too aware of the Turok legalities, but the property was originally published when you issue one that you have. At least when it was published in the 90s, was by Valiant Comics. But the Turok property, as well as a couple others, are not currently owned and operated by Valiant Comics in their modern incarnation. I don't know much about it, and I've read a couple comics and they weren't as cool as the things the video game made me think it was about.
that's what I ran into too, because I remember buying like a really cheap comic package from like a comic dealer or shop in Lakeland where I grew up at, and it was after I played the first game, and second game was reading up all the little manual stories, and I read through the comic, this is nothing like the game at all. So, yes, he fights a dinosaur occasionally, but I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I have a question.
What is it?
If you call something remastered, that means you've done something to it, right? Like, Turok 1 and 2 remastered, but you just literally are porting the N64 version. That's not a remaster.
Well, I know
from
like an audio aspect, a lot of the audio that was like mastered for all these video games for N64 get compressed into the cartridge. So when they re-release it, they take the uncompressed audio.
Well, I think remastering audio is a little bit different than say a remastered video game.
Remastering means
because remastering like audio is taking the original content and then applying new filters and
compression
and, like,
to it. Yeah,
right. Like altering it in a fundamental way and then re-releasing it and hopefully better quality than the original release, either due to
they're calling it a remaster.
Differences in medium or things like that. So if you go back to the original source and then you apply more modern methodologies onto it and release it onto a new medium, then it would be a higher quality release. In the terms of a video game, hopefully it would be something along the lines of more texture compression, more anti-aliasing, stuff like that. But it wouldn't necessarily be like a rework, like a re-release.
Right. Yeah. That would be a remake.
A remake, then. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of, has anyone touched the Secret of Mana remake that came out recently?
No.
I'm actually upset.
I saw it.
About it.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's great. They called it, once again, they're calling it a remaster. And if remastering means you're making 3D rendered models that are worse looking than the sprites, then...
It's definitely a remake.
Yeah.
But remastered it, so the character has a name now. His name's Randy. Is that what a remaster means? Like, he didn't have a name before. And Randy's a shit name.
sorry, Randy.
It's Randy with an I. Nobody has Randy with an I. If you're Randy with a Y,
the great
you're fine.
Randy isn't the great Randy.
It's not that great.
Well, that old like magician guy that debunks a bunch of stuff isn't the amazing Randy. Isn't his name spelled with an I?
That's Penn and Teller.
But Randy,
you're saying words, but I don't know what they mean.
Oh, now I can't recover things in my mind.
Look, I like Secret of Mana more than anyone. Maybe not, but it's my favorite.
Maybe
it,
not.
It is literally my favorite video game. They cut like the last third of it out. They had an opportunity to add that back in, but it wasn't even the same company making this, so they didn't have that material.
My mistake. It's James Randi, who has that $1 million challenge if you can prove your psychic or ghost are real.
Oh,
I'm psychic. Yeah. I just happen to be psychic, so
you
I need
go
to contact
challenge
him.
And show him the thing, and he'll pay you $1 million.
All right, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, bye. He's not coming back. So yeah, Randi is the last name.
I'm back.
I don't know. I'm stuck on that. But anyways, yeah.
I've still been playing a lot of Mario Odyssey every time I have a breather.
That game looks so good. You posted a picture. It was a pigeon sitting on your helmet, and I was like, I'm buying it.
Yeah, I was in New Donk City. I got to the top of a
New
building.
New Donk City.
I sat on a little table at a rooftop cafe with a laptop open, thinking maybe something will happen.
Writing your new novel.
Right,
working
yeah.
on that novel.
So meta.
My Life, My Pipes by Mario. or Laying Pipes, an erotica by Mario. anyway, I digress. I sat there and a little chicken landed on my hard hat.
Was it a chicken or are you just calling pigeons little chickens?
Little chickens.
I mean, pigeons are known as it
was
little
a pigeon.
Chickens.
It was a pigeon. And fun thing about New Donk City and a lot of the landscapes that you walk around in, you'll see like little animals like lizards or something that'll run away from you. And if you run after them long enough, they'll just fart out in a little puff of cloud and turn into
they
turn
explode,
to a coin.
They die.
Well, in New Donk City, it's rats.
They get so scared they explode and money comes out.
This game is super weird. I originally thought that it was taking place in alternate universes, but it's just saying that no, like, you know, you've explored the world that Mario's on many times throughout these games, but it just so happens that there on that world there are, turns out, other art styles. I mean, granted, that is kind of a thing that happens.
It's a multiverse. Mario. They just have access to other universes. Isn't,
on the same planet?
Oh, it's on the same planet.
It's on the same planet.
Where's the little hell part where you go and there's like Bowser's airships and things? Where's the little hell
that's,
volcano
that's
world?
That's the like the underworld.
The under the ground. Yeah.
But
the underworld?
In Mario Galaxy, we already explored the galaxy, right?
We explored the galaxy, but now we're exploring the planet, which is something that's kind of happened before. I mean, like in Mario 3, when you go to all those other lands, unless yeah. that was all one continent. I don't know. I'm arguing that there's a Mario continuity, and I know there's not. But like, but now that there's like multiple art styles on a single planet, I'm like, I'm so confused, folks. But it's a really fun game.
If you just Google search like Mario T-Rex mustache, you'll be sold. You'll be sold. It's a realistic T-Rex with a Mario hat and a giant fake mustache. That's all I need to buy the game.
I'm really enjoying it. I'm really enjoying how many fucking moons there are and how challenging it is to do everything. I mean, yeah, it's just a bunch of puzzles. It's like wander around, platform a bit, do a bunch of puzzles. But it's it's exactly the sort of game that I need to decompress because I don't have a lot of time in my busy schedule this moment to like really invest myself in a deeper game, and it's perfect.
Like Monster Hunter?
Is that a deep game? I don't know. Tell me.
I guess. Could
did
you
we,
consider
did we already it? Talk about
you
this
already
game?
Did.
We did.
Yeah, yeah.
We're still definitely. Playing it. Even though we bash it a lot, we're still playing it.
We did. And we still are. And we're getting our asses handed to us.
We're like endgame content almost. Yeah. Almost. And then you look online and realize that after the endgame content, there's a whole other thing there's of endgame content.
Yeah, there's endgame version
yes.
2 and then 3.
Like, yeah. And then they'll release more, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably.
The grind fest never ends.
I'm okay with that. I like grinding in games.
I like grinding IRL.
Oh, tight.
You know, I really like Mario Odyssey because you know that when they release the next Smash Brothers game, it's going to be the new Mario with hat mechanics. I don't know what that. I don't know what that means.
No.
He's going to be throwing his hat and possessing other characters or like parts of the stage. Like someone will throw a Goomba at him and he'll just possess it.
You have a really good point, Brandon.
And his major smash will be like literally riding, like possessing.
What's
going to
happen when he fights Kirby?
I don't know.
What if he throws a hat on Kirby and Kirby sucks him in
and
it's just like...
Blah. You actually take control
Kirby
of Kirby.
Does Kirby then get hat powers?
It's a feedback loop.
He can possess other people?
Oh my goodness.
And then, but he's eating somebody
you break
when he possesses
universe.
Somebody else?
Dude, Rob, you gotta
would eat. He lose the hat powers?
You got to time this right. You know, the sucking in and the hat thrown at the same time.
I think the Smash Brothers universe would just implode on itself if Kirby ate Hat Power Mario and then tried to possess somebody else.
The match just ends. It says over. Nobody wins.
The game ends. Everything goes white, and you just see that table from the first Smash Brothers, where like with all the little figurines with the you know where it gives the illusion of like, oh, this is all, this entire battle is in a child's mind.
And then it explodes.
And the kid's like,
what?
They start crying.
Yeah, the kid's nose
is bleeding. They cry and they're just blood everywhere.
Jimmy, take your gloves off. It's time for dinner. I don't know. Yeah. That's what I'm imagining, though, because they've always gloves, too. I'm just like, oh, okay.
It's a child who wears gloves.
Kid wants to keep his
gotta stay clean. Everything, yeah, clean.
Everything clean. Cleanliness is godliness. Exactly. I don't know. That's what I meant.
Can you possess Luigi?
Luigi's not in it. Luigi,
I haven't done it yet, but Luigi is actually in a new update to the game, a free update that adds in a Luigi component where he, this is from memory, and I haven't done it yet, but apparently if you go back to places you've been before, Luigi will appear with some balloons, and there's some balloon-oriented fetch quests or something you can do with them.
He just shows up with balloons.
Also an assortment of outfits, new outfits you can acquire.
Hi, I'm Luigi, adding not-so-great game content. Here's a balloon.
I don't know. Why bother?
It sounds a lot like that, but maybe it's good. I haven't done it.
I'm a palette swap the Mario. Here's a balloon.
He is not a palette swap Mario. He is tall and skinny.
If you played the arcade box?
Yeah, and he's got a different voice actor. Oh. Mario's voiced by
Charles Martinet.
Charles Martinet. Oh. And Luigi is voiced by Charles Martinet.
Well,
just like Wario is a completely different thing because he's voiced by Charles Martinet. Yeah.
I don't know that he is.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure. I don't know that
he is.
I'm
pretty sure he is.
Did we meet that voice actor?
We did.
Oh, yeah.
We actually hung out with him.
Yeah, we hung out at a party.
Yeah.
At a party? Where were you? What happened?
He was in our hotel room.
Yeah. No, literally, there was a party that was being thrown after a con that we worked at, and one of the voice actors came in, and it was that dude, and he was just chilling with everybody, getting a little drunk.
Yeah,
we used to do
audio for anime conventions.
Yeah, and lighting and stuff like that. Yeah, and the one anime convention there had him there, and at this party, wasn't somebody like, you know...
We had like the whole cast...
Getting drunk and hanging over him, and they didn't know that he was...
All the crew of everything was hanging out with us.
Yeah.
And somebody threw an invitation at him, and he just kind of shows up. So Mario's just hanging out at our party.
Yeah.
Watching people be drunk idiots.
Did he also confirm that his name is Mario Mario and Luigi's name is Luigi Mario?
No, he confirmed that to me at E3 several years
ago. I just thought he was going to keep it up. Keep up the lie.
All I gotta say is home dude's super nice.
Yeah, he's really nice.
Really awesome. I've dealt with other like voice actors and like, you know, celebrities, and I'm just kind of but he's been like super nice.
Weren't people playing spin the bottle or something?
It was really weird. Yeah, they were spinning the bottle in the corner. I'm just like, was this middle school again?
And he was watching, and he was just like,
Here we go, spin the bubble.
I don't understand why you need more than one.
It.
Why do you need, this is an American guy, right?
Yeah.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. I know he has an Italian last name, and he plays Italian.
My point is, Mario has like 6 lines in the existence of his creation. Why do you need not the original Japanese voice actor? He could learn those 6 lines.
Brandon, I have some news for you. Charles Martinet is the voice actor.
The original?
He's Japanese.
As far as I know, he's always been the voice actor.
Yeah.
What? Mamma mia.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's the original subtitle actor too.
Yeah, it's been like since Mario's 64, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The whole time.
Didn't know that.
Yeah,
Since Mario has had a voice
internationally. Yeah.
Well, what about that cartoon though?
No.
Was that voiced by that wrestler guy?
Ready, show you how to be Mario.
Kind of not.
From side to side, come on.
That one. That's
Tina Turner.
Captain Lou Albano, as opposed to, I guess, Muscle Man Randy Savage.
Rest in
pieces. From side to side.
I remember that.
Through the Mario.
Through
the Mario.
Remember the time Elvira took over the show?
I just remember Tina Turner.
Oh, my childhood crush. Oh.
It's getting spooky in here, Mario.
Actually, she's super hilarious in person, too. She's a riot, actually.
Oh, she's got to be. I mean, she's been doing weird comedy for like 30, 40 years
she's
now.
She's still alive?
Her wit is pretty damn good. Yeah, she's still alive and, you know, still looking okay. Yeah.
It's all that white makeup.
Or that she is actually a nether being of some kind.
I wouldn't doubt it. She's cool anyways, but I mean, like, she's super nice. And
guess
just,
how old she is right now?
Probably like in 60s.
I know I shouldn't say this on air, but guess how old she is.
60s?
6'6".
Dun, dun, dun!
To be continued.
Oh.
We'll tell you more in 6 years.
Is it 668, like Neighbor of the Beast, or is it like 666,
the actual beast? It's just 66. There's nothing special.
Hail Santon!
You know, at a Six Flags for their Halloween event.
Ooh, another six.
I forget what they call it.
He's gonna go crazy like 23.
They had like an Elvira motion roller coaster ride just for Halloween, and it was really
just
weird.
For Halloween.
Just for Halloween, yeah.
Whoa!
But it was like this weird Elvira themed. Like they must have spent a ton of money on it, but it was like a 3D
was it simulator
motion,
thing?
Yeah, motion simulator roller coaster. It was really cool. But yeah. Elvira would just pop up like here and there. And
I don't understand the allure of Elvira. I don't know what she is or why anyone cares.
She has big assets.
That's the I don't understand.
She's an attractive crypt keeper who is sarcastic to you late at night when you're watching horror movies.
Yeah, like the crypt keeper.
Well, she
okay. I'm sorry for kink shaming you, or I'm sorry for body shaming the crypt keeper.
She originally fitted the mentality of just like, you know, a voluptuous like host, but she came about like in an era where that's the only way you could get
sexist.
On TV. But at the same time, too, like she was really smart and just very, you know,
yeah.
She's got quite like a cunningness to her or something like that, because somebody could just like insult her and she would just like snap back at them like
she's
yeah, really
a cunning
awesome.
Linguist is what you're looking
sure,
for.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Her sarcasm is pretty much like next level. So
I don't think I've ever seen anything that she's been in. Isn't she the wife in Adam's Family?
What?
No. That is not her.
Oh, that's Morticia?
Yes, that's Morticia Adams.
There's an actress name tied to that
I mean,
character.
Black hair, white skin, same difference.
Vampires.
Yeah, funny, well, not funny.
Early 90s vampires.
White people all look the same to Brandon.
Oh, wait, is she a vampire?
No, she's a witch.
Oh, God.
A sorceress.
I've seen Hocus Pocus.
If only you can make
a
noise for pushing up glasses. Boop.
So whenever you hear that noise going forward on this show,
yeah.
That's what it means.
Push up glasses. Well, I've been looking over at you and nodding to you too, so I'm just like, why am I nodding in an audio program? Like, yeah. It's like me on my phone sometimes when I talk to people. I'm just like, uh-huh, uh-huh. I'm like nodding. I'm just like, I don't know why I'm nodding on the phone when they're not
there. It's a natural human response.
Is it though?
Maybe.
Is it though?
I say yes.
How? You know more about birds than people. People aren't birds.
Look, if a bird was talking on a cell phone, they'd still be darting around
sick
moving
bird.
Their eyes.
That's true, screaming, yeah.
Did you say sick bird?
I did. Sick bird. I can't put one past you guys.
Woo! I'm half awake anyway, so my head's like, you know, not as quick as
to
I should
to the point
be.
Of that Elvira motion ride thing, that's one of the things I'm most excited about for virtual reality environments.
An Elvira ride.
Is the capacity to take experiences which can no longer be enjoyed because the like, you know, they were things like that that were like filmed for just one stupid thing that they're never going to re-implement again and probably involve specific machines to make happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the future, all these weird experiences could be archived somehow in ways you can actually experience them.
You won't be able to feel it.
Wait, what?
Oh, really?
Not yet.
There's a YouTube channel and a guy that's actually doing this. It's called Defunctland.
Ooh,
where he's
yes,
basically,
more.
Well, he's basically trying to build up a virtual theme park of all these old rides that can be travel to in whatever virtual apparatus you have.
Yes.
Like he's got one set up for like, was it 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
And it's all
Back to the
life.
Future,
and
the
I'm
original Back to the Future. He's doing this, like, he does all these, like, YouTube videos where he talks about, like, defunct, like, Disney rides,
yeah.
Universal rides, random rides that showed up, but tied to this whole, like, documentarian thing, whatever words, you give me a word. Give me a word. Anyway, documentaries that he does. He's
what just happened. All right.
He also has like a I think an Indiegogo fund me or whatever the site is to actually produce.
He
something.
Sells shirts.
I don't know, whatever.
Indiegogo and GoFundMe, two separate organizations.
Smash these things together, man.
Taste great together.
Yeah, exactly. Indiegogo fund me something. I don't know, Patreonus. I don't know, whatever.
Indiegogo fund starter.
Yeah, fund starter. There you go. Yeah, exactly what he's got. But he's hopefully I'd like to see the, you know, finished product, but he's planning on like doing this like digital theme park where people can actually go to ride these old rides and
yes,
see these things.
This is exactly what I want. The future is now, and he's building it.
He's on
me.
It, yeah. And so now we could actually go to shopping malls where they could bring back those old like cheesy 3D like ride machines.
Because there's some incredible Disney material that was filmed in such a way so that it can never be enjoyed ever again.
Yeah.
360 vision, where they'd have these like a screen that's a basically a big donut around the side of a room.
Yeah.
And the idea would be you'd be standing in the middle in a crowd at the bottom of this room looking up all around you at this huge thing. There was a thing in Tomorrowland that had
the Sea Quest thing. I remember seeing something like that.
Is that where Poseidon comes out and it looks like you're drowning? And
oh, I don't know.
That's Universal Islands of Adventure.
What's the difference?
Yeah. Well, some kind of sea quest thing. I remember going into and seeing this whole like surrounding like waterfall. And
did the dolphin Jonathan talk Brandis? To you?
Maybe.
That sounds like something that probably happened at Epcot, and I don't think I saw it. Oh. The thing I'm thinking of was there was a. It's like it was called Timekeeper or something, and it's Robin Williams plays a weird robot that's like got this sort of alpha from Power Rangers head on him, which is the view screen that you're looking through, and he's transporting to different time periods.
Oh shit.
And it was super cool. And then like it existed for maybe all of like, I don't know, 7 years, and then boom, gone. And now it's the Monsters Inc. University thing.
Was it an actual ride?
You it was not a ride.
There. Wait. Oh, you were standing.
It was a theater experience.
Oh, okay.
If you go to
like
that,
the Terminator.
Like the Terminator, but not seated. Got it. Because it's 360 degrees, so you have to be able to move around. Huh. Because you physically move around. You're not doing anything, but you're...
See, you can do that with VR, but I'm talking about more like...
You can, but someone needs to do it.
But the rides,
yes, experiencing the Elvira ride, as it was meant to be
experienced. Unless you know how to simulate, like, G's, which I'm sure at some point you will, not before we die, but yeah, that'll be cool.
Simulated gravity wells, gotcha.
That would be amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, or we could sit in a machine that just moves us at crazy angles, but in a really small space.
I'll just get a, not a D-box, but the 4DX chair, you know,
I got a D-box
in my home.
You.
Thank you. That's so
You're
kind.
Welcome.
Thank you for offering your
That's
D-box
hot.
To me.
Check out my D-box.
That's super hot.
D-box.com.
Moist.
So, one of my favorite science fiction films in recent history, and actually ever, is Duncan Jones's Moon, starring Sam Rockwell, and probably his greatest performance of all time. It's about a man who's operating a solo mining mission on the moon. One of the things that impressed upon me, Moon, was I read the press kit before the film came out, and it was just Duncan Jones like passionately talking about the future of mining this element on the moon and how it's going to be so great, even though he wrote a kind of grim story about it.
That's if we actually been to the moon.
I would love to look up at night and just see like
good point
lights and little structures on the moon, like metal structures on the moon when I look up. I think that would be cool.
That's where the reptilians stay at. You'll see those things.
It's a giant egg, actually.
Yeah,
it's a
actually,
giant
is it? Okay,
reptile
that makes
egg.
Sense.
That's
oh.
Why do you think it's white?
Oh, I don't know.
It's porous. Okay. It's calcium.
Mm.
So for the longest time, Duncan Jones has been talking about making a follow-up to Moon. Something that takes place in the same universe, doesn't necessarily directly continue that story, but is in that same world. And it's finally happened. It's out on Netflix now, and it's called Mute. In the meantime, Duncan Jones directed the pretty good, basically feature-length Twilight Zone episode Source Code. Ooh. Terrible name, but good movie. And because it has nothing to do with actual source codes of any kind, it's just
the actual movie source code, is that the one where the guy like repeats time over and over based off this machine that's
it's like
reality?
A suspense thriller Groundhog's Day.
Oh, okay. I think I've seen that.
And also Warcraft, which, despite what most reviews will tell you, was actually pretty good and took an insurmountable task and actually did it.
Well, super successful in China.
Yeah.
That I know is like massively successful.
I really liked it, and I'm super into World of Warcraft.
But
so.
Wasn't it because it had a lot of like mythos from before the World of Warcraft games?
It was
like
takes Warcraft place 1? During Warcraft 1, yes.
Oh, okay. Then that's... Nobody reads the booklets at Warcraft 1.
All right, here's the thing that is troubling me and confusing. I haven't seen Mute, and like a normal just... idiot stupid guy, I'm looking at all the reviews online.
Oh yeah,
every single review is like the lowest possible score they could give to this movie, like Rotten Tomatoes,
Mute,
and like IMDb, IGN,
Mute.
Yeah,
Mute.
It's Roger getting, Ebert,
it's
like
getting
everyone
its ass torn out.
Really?
But I also read that the creator of what the term cyberpunk, who wrote Neuromancer,
William Gibson
is praising this movie, going, this is the best thing ever.
William Gibson said on Twitter, this is William Gibson, the man who essentially fostered in every cyberpunk ideal that there is,
and that all cyberpunk comes from.
If you want more info on him, I'll direct you to our Nerdy Show book club episode where we all read Neuromancer and talk about it. It's a fantastic book. William Gibson's a great writer. William Gibson said this: Mute does something that I've so far assumed only prose science fiction could do. The power in a million tiny, devastatingly coherent details of an entirely suggested world story. A near future nightmarish in its resemblance to the present. Mute also confirmed everything I thought accounted for my disappointment in Blade Runner 2049 and out Blade Runnered it, in my opinion. Also, my favorite future cityscape version since Blade Runner, the original, but isn't about that. Naturalism.
So, where does the disconnect come from? I'm really confused because he loves it, but all the reviews are like, terrible movie.
Here's how this works. We are in a very awful, destructive society for a number of very valid political reasons, but also when it comes to criticism. Because everyone who's reviewing, including for the website I work for, Consequence of Sound, this movie came out at like midnight, February 23rd, and that's as in like 12 a.m. And so by the evening or afternoon, reviewers had to have already watched it and wrote a review, because that's the world we live in that needs results like that. If they didn't get a preview copy, and most people didn't, that's what happens.
It's like all the reviews are like, meh, it's like a two-hour movie.
So people who have not read any cyberpunk novels in their life, for whom the only barometer for that term is Blade Runner, which is a series that I adore, but is not in any way characteristic of the entirety of what cyberpunk means or is.
I don't think you need to read books. You shouldn't have to enjoy a movie. You shouldn't have to know the background.
But here's the thing. Mute is a very challenging film. It does a bunch of stuff that other films don't do. It does not even remotely hold your hand. It has parts that are intentionally cheesy that people can easily misread because it's so of the genre. Because the fact is that cyberpunk films don't get made. As in, like, you see the dressing of it all the time. Even Fifth Element is a cyberpunk film in a way, but that's all set dressing for different stories that aren't necessarily cyberpunk stories. But cyberpunk stories are extremely layered, where every character is like something, like, for every character is from a different universe. There's always something else going on. So in this case, Mute is the story of an Amish person living in Berlin in the future, whose throat was slashed open by a boat when he was a child, whose parents wouldn't let him get surgery to get it fixed. So he's mute. He's in love with a woman who works at the same bar that he works at, because he's not really like practicing Amish, but he's still really involved in that.
Well, here's
lifestyle.
The thing about the Amish people, though, too. Like, I don't know about the European ones, but in America, most Amish don't they don't abstain from technology altogether. They work with technology. They just don't live with it in their house.
Right.
Like, there's Amish people who are like mechanics that can work on like tractors and stuff, but they don't use that to live and have that as a crutch in their life, basically.
Yeah.
So that's the funny thing. Like, most people aren't, I guess, are getting about this character is just like, oh, shouldn't he be in the forest doing nothing? But I'm like, no, there's Amish that can live in the city and just like be Amish in the city.
What he's doing is he's acting as the perfect foil for ushering viewers into a world that they know nothing about.
Definitely.
Because he purposely avoids technology, and therefore most things are kind of new to him. And also, because he's mute, he can't interface with this futuristic world in the same way everyone else does. Therefore, he's one of the most seamless integrations of the viewer as a character that I've seen in a long time in film.
Yeah, that's true, because, yeah, he can't interact with everything.
Yeah, it's very meta, but I dig it. But that's cyberpunk. Cyberpunk's got a bit of meta on it anyway.
Always.
So, yeah.
All right, so I haven't been paying attention to anything you guys have been saying. I've been reading. I read some critic reviews, then I read some audience reviews, which are slightly better, but still, like, meh. And I was like, how many explosions were in this movie, Cap?
That's zero.
That's the coolest thing about it. Yeah,
well,
it's not like action-packed.
I think we just figured out why people don't like the
movie.
Also,
I don't remember a gun.
No, there's no guns in the future.
Oh, well, anti-America.
The biggest weapon I remember is like a Bowie knife.
Yeah.
The biggest complaint so far, if I'm summarizing everyone, is like, there's a long, dragged out plot and nothing much interesting happens.
It's extremely interesting.
That's what everyone is saying. And I'm like, I'm sorry there weren't enough explosions.
This is like a sandwich that took 16 years to make.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got some refinement to it. Mostly in the sense of you're right about like the guns and stuff like that. Cause when I would see certain fights in this movie happen, the main character,
Pierre Skarsgård, yeah.
He's been in so many roles where he's just been this badass, like, warrior, could rip people apart. So it's, interesting to see him in a role where he's, like, heavily, mostly passive and, like, just has no prowess in fighting, basically. And so in this movie, like, most cyberpunk books I've always read, there's always, like, some razor girl that would jump in and kill people or all this ultra violence and stuff like that. But this movie doesn't really touch upon that. And almost, like, Boris said this too. It's almost like the cyberpunk elements are kind of took a back seat to the actual, like, you know, character involvement.
Right. There is a cyberpunk dressing. The world is actually pretty well realized in its own way. But what is cyberpunk about it is the kind of story that it's telling. Not like the character context, because you're not, there's no hacking.
There's no technology at the forefront. Technology isn't the MacGuffin in a lot of these things.
Yeah, it comes from the heart of cyberpunk and also from the heart of film noir in a way that is really merciless. Because in film noir, like, I'm talking about like serious film noir, bad things happen like all the time, and the story always gets deeper, and it starts with something simple, like in this case, Leo's girlfriend goes missing, and he doesn't know why and has no way to communicate with the world, and it's a downward slope that keeps going down, 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 and everything keeps getting worse.
All right, I figured it out. People don't have an attention span unless there's explosions.
Yeah,
and,
like just demonstrated.
And the world... sorry, I still haven't been paying attention to you guys. And the world... I've been getting this for most of the reviews. The world is too dark and drab. Everything's all dark.
Oh.
Why is it all dark?
You know, well, yeah, not a lot of happy stuff was happening, but why is it all? That was
like,
the point.
If you made a movie about 2018, people would be like, why is it so dark and drab? Because that's life. That's what's going
to
happen.
That's the same thing people were like hating on the new Devilman anime that got released. It's like, I don't like it. I'm like, well, it doesn't have to be like a wonderful, happy-go-lucky ending.
Life,
it has to be Moe.
Life and any realistic future for life is going to be dark and drab. Get the fuck over it.
True. And also...
Stop liking those Michael Bay movies.
What's dark about it is not... the world per se, and it's not necessarily the characters, it's just the things that are happening to
them. It's physically dark, like the lighting. I'm pretty sure that's what they mean.
It'll
the lighting
make you
is dark.
Ugly shit. Yeah. It'll make you confront like pedophilia.
That's
a component of this
movie.
No,
I didn't mean like dark in tone. I literally meant the lighting is dark.
okay.
Turn up your brightness.
That's what I've been seeing. It's too dark to see the characters.
Oh, whatever.
Watch it at night, anyway. Fucko.
Tragic.
Turn up the brightness on your eyeballs.
But like I will say this is a challenging movie. It's not an easygoing movie. It's not going to go light on you. There's a lot happening. You do have to pay attention.
Neuromancer was a challenging book for me to get through.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it was a terrible book. No, I enjoyed it, but it was really hard for me to get through.
Because there's a lot happening.
Because it's me, and I don't read books.
Well, I mean, really, to your credit, Bren, there's just a lot happening in that book.
And it happened to me in Altered Carbon, too. Like, there's certain parts of that book I was kind of like,
How was the female character? Because oftentimes, I feel like the female character in movies...
What's the female character?
I read a review saying there was, like, a female character in this movie. And oftentimes, they're used as just a plot device to have a love interest. Not really... No. They're not a strong lead or do anything else.
She is a plot catalyst, and she is actually not great.
Okay.
I don't like her lines, and I don't like her delivery, but she disappears, so she's not in a lot of the film.
Okay, well, that's good.
And she's not the centerpiece, but yeah, like you said, it's the motivation for Joe.
Leo.
Leo, whatever.
Yeah, it's a classic noir motivation. There's a lot of stuff about it that's not new. It's not new that the motivations or anything. What is new is seeing all these components playing against each other, because we haven't even talked about the supporting characters. Paul Rudd plays this, like, cliche of what Europeans think Americans are like. It's like almost grotesque.
It's quite the character.
Saying it's not accurate.
I think it maybe goes too far, but not within the context of the work. Like,
is
I
he
mean, like
cheeseburgers and saying fuck.
Well,
he sure is
half of that. Yeah.
Well, then I don't see how that's a stereotype. That's legit.
Stash, or what is that stash called that he had?
Handlebar.
He looked like he's from the 70s.
But he like definitely. There's a lot of 70s like motifs showing up there, like the bodyguard with the big muscles in the club.
He reminded me very German.
Well, he reminded me of the guy from, like, you ever remember watching Clockwork Orange? That bodyguard that takes care of the dude in the end.
Yeah,
it looks exactly.
We
like
all know that
dude.
Fashion trends go in a cycle and they come back around. So this is just the time where 70s aesthetics came back. So.
I'll wait until 90s comes back up again.
Ugh, I hope never. Everyone's be wearing Nirvana shirts.
I like
who's Nirvana?
Music.
You need to get some JNCOs. They're out again.
Yeah. Dayglow JNCOs with like LEDs in them.
I was just going to say, like, Gilligan hats.
They come with rave stick holders.
Cargo shorts and flip-flops and skanking. Music. Nobody. But yeah, so the supporting characters are just something that just is equally interesting. I mean, like, they didn't really explain the world that was going on other than, like, there's, like, a war or something that America's doing and there's people running
away. That's pretty accurate.
There's enough information on screen that I think in a second viewing I could piece it together.
Yeah.
But it's not really important. All you have to know is that, like, there is some kind of military presence, and that Paul Rudd's character has.
And you get some
defected.
Flashes of Sam Rockwell in there too.
Yes.
Yeah, and the background's kind of cool there. Yeah.
Sam Rockwell's character from Moon is all throughout this film in really subtle ways. There's graffiti that is because basically what I don't want to spoil Moon, but there's.
But is it post Moon or pre Moon?
It is post Moon.
Definitely post Moon.
Yeah, 100% post Moon, and that what the events of that film have created a humanitarian crisis of a sort. Mm. That is the object of public scrutiny going on in the background of this film the entire time.
Yep. It's just like always on TV, and
it is the scandal of the day.
Yep.
I want that movie, but when he comes back, what happens?
That's this movie. You trust me, you get enough, because allegedly, if he gets to make one, if these reviews don't tank him and make sure no one will invest in poor Duncan Jones ever
again. It's Netflix. Half of the things they make get like 1 stars out of like 100, and they're like, don't even get me started on Bright.
Hey, if this sounds like a movie that you don't want to watch, can you just do me a favor and go on to Netflix and give it a thumbs up, just for the heck of it, just for me? Like,
If you never want this type of movie to be made again, just give it a thumbs up so it gets made again.
This movie didn't make me comfortable. It didn't make me feel good, but it was like I was very impressed with it as art. Because this movie, like a lot of movies that I love, I think the reason that people turn against it is that
it makes them feel uncomfortable. They're not ready for that.
Well, but also it's different from most mainstream films. That it looks like it has a budget. And therefore, people have expectations that it's going to have typical plot structure and it's going to give someone a fulfilling filling. But in fact, it's a high budget art film.
Yeah, there's no explosions, right?
Well, people are too conditioned for the main character has to be this badass that could just kill everybody.
Is there a giant AI that's going to take over the world?
They don't even touch upon that.
Are there laser beams that shot into the sky that are going to destroy or save everything?
The only lasers used
very few weapons.
Yeah, cut a lock off or
so
something.
So it doesn't follow the standardized, normal, generic movie.
Oh, yeah. It, people think they're going to watch a film about a bunch of cyborgs trying to figure out the meaning of life and fighting AIs. It doesn't happen in this movie.
Lots of reviews are like, this doesn't hold a candle to Blade Runner, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Blade Runner is a very different film. Blade Runner, as much as I love it, is a surface level cyberpunk film and a surface level noir film. This goes deep into that genre.
Well, Blade Runner and this movie all borrow from things like Neuromancer, so they're all copying.
No. Blade Runner is based off of a story by Philip K. Dick that came out before.
Well, I was thinking
S. Gibson. Well, ever wrote, because technically the. William S. Gibson.
Do they describe the aesthetics in the world as much in that book?
The Android's Dream of Electric Sheep is what Blade Runner's based off of. Kind of, sort of. Enough.
You're probably right. Yeah. You're probably right.
But I mean, just like that's what people, try to quote.
Never mind.
Beep.
Whoop. But,
oh, my bad. Whoop. I don't know what I'm doing.
But I to make a comparison to a recent Nerdy Show episode, towards the end of last year, I did an episode where I spoke to the film director Barry Levinson about one of my favorite movies of all time, Toys. And in that, it's a relatively investigative episode because I've spent a lot of my spare time every now and then throughout the years researching that film because it's a really unusual circumstance of a director who spent about 20 years trying to get a film made. And the story layered and layered and layered and layered, and he finally got the budget to make this dream project happen. And everyone had, the audience had expectations that were not met because they thought they were going to see a big blockbuster comedy film. And instead they got a weird, surrealist, dark comedy. And then the same thing.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Okay, here's the thing about Toys. It is a classic. I love that movie. I don't know anyone who hates that movie. The reviews are in the negatives.
Yeah.
Everyone hates that movie, apparently.
I even like the video game.
It's an amazing movie.
Wow, that's a tough sell. But
shit. Compared to other movie games, it was okay.
No, it wasn't. Couldn't do anything in it.
I'm a self-hating masochist.
Hey, if you want a game that's a challenge, that game is a challenge. It's a genuine challenge.
And I just hate when people compare movies to other movies. It's this is a combination of Willy Wonka and War Games. You could say that about any movie is a combination of any movie.
We'll take it back.
They're saying that as a bad thing. It's like, okay.
So what, okay. No matter what you do, you are a remix of everything that has influenced
you. If you can take Willy Wonka and War Games and make a good movie combining those weird-ass plots that wouldn't make any sense together, good kudos on you.
Come on. But there's no unique ideas that people can draw upon other than just what they've had in the past. You are a remix of everything that you loved and taken into
people
art.
People don't like movies that take risks is the thing, that are outside the norm and their comfort zone.
That's true, too,
That's why we have so many sequels now.
Yeah, and they go into a movie with an expectation.
Look,
and it's not the movie I thought it was. I instantly hate it. No, it's stupid.
I will say that Mute is probably the most put together, most coherent, long in development director passion project I've ever seen. I like Southland Tales as well. That's a very poorly assembled film, I feel, in the long run. But there's some really cool things happening, and I hope that Richard Kelly gets an opportunity to actually finish the film as he wants to.
Sure.
But Mute is actually really well put together. It's all there. It just requires an audience that understands that you can't have these expectations that don't pertain to the movie going into it, and that those of us here who are diehard nerds enough to be listening to this program, this movie might not be for you, but the failure of this movie and movies like it will doom us to shitty pop culture, and we can't let that happen.
Let me put that into retrospect. Daddy's Home 2 got better reviews. That movie is just shite.
Brandon, I actually want to cry right now.
I want you to cry because it'll be cathartic and it'll be good for you.
That sucks.
I guess we'll full disclosure here. I didn't think the movie was like the best thing ever, but I don't hate the movie. Yeah, I like it.
Was it good enough to warrant a like 1% review?
Well, I mean, for out of 100. I watched it going like, oh, that's interesting. That was unexpected. I liked that. Cool.
No, I mean, I really liked the movie, but I don't know if I'm ever going to rewatch it.
And I think it would. I want to rewatch it only mostly because, like, I mean, like, I did enjoy parts of it, but it's so layered. I know I would get a lot out of rewatching it.
Mm. Yeah, perhaps.
But like, but yeah, it's like, is it a sterling film? You know, like, no. But like, if I had to give it like a letter grade, it would be an A. You know,
Peter
like,
Rabbit. Yeah. Better reviews. Jumanji.
But wait,
better reviews.
Wasn't there outrage on Peter Rabbit though? Like he shot a blueberry at somebody, and apparently the guy was allergic to blueberries, and it caused people to be outraged at the theaters because their kids could be allergic to certain things. And
it, like, yeah, it made
wait what?
It,
what?
It, yeah. Yeah, this is the real
I'm
thing.
I'm confused.
Context here, right?
Because then kids might get the idea like, oh, that kid's allergic to peanuts. I'm gonna get him by sticking him with a peanut.
I thought about that when I was 6 years old. You poison someone, know your enemy.
All I know is that at the point
I don't get it.
That happened in the film, the farmer was gonna kill the rabbit. So in self defense. Defense, the rabbit shot a blueberry at them. It's
I just want to say this,
okay, cool.
And I'm going to leave it as it is. Peter Rabbit is a fuckboy. Just look at his goddamn face.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, he is a total fuckboy.
So there's outrage on that basis.
I don't
parents
even understand that term.
What? Fuckboy?
Yeah.
Here, let me look that up in Urban Dictionary.
I don't think I get it fuck as well, but boy. My understanding was fuckboy.
People
was,
hate them, but I don't.
I always thought fuckboy was that person that would like emotionally try to like
a guy who doesn't respect women yet relies on them heavily.
Yeah, exactly. Like somebody would try to like basically guilt women into having sex with him and being all emotionally manipulative to them.
And
just for
the
sex. But I don't know.
Manipulates you, and you do end up having sex with them, and you hate yourself after.
He's a guy who's distant, doesn't care about a woman's time, and won't commit. He's self-absorbed and is never looking for anything serious relationship.
And honestly, I think that's an inspired choice for Peter Rabbit because that's exactly describing the rabbit lifestyle.
That is the opposite of what I thought a fuckboy was like. Oh, we're making a porn. Get in the fuckboy. Like,
on the fluffer.
Stunt
the fuck boys.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to make you good.
Like, we need two fuckboys in this scene. Hire someone. Like, I don't. Like, that's completely different than what I thought.
Oh, yeah.
The definition should just be asshole. He's an asshole. Is it called a fuckboy?
Because I look at him, I think. That rabbit's got like some
he's
like
an asshole.
The way they've designed his face in the CGI, he's got some charisma there, but I bet he'd treat me rotten.
Yeah. Rabbits can't talk, by the way.
Oh, thanks,
I'm
Brandon.
Sorry. We have two rabbits in my house right now, and they're nothing like these rabbits. They don't
Do they ever shoot blueberries?
I can tell you they never gave high fives with their ears. Tell you that much. That happens in the movie, I think.
It's way past time that we mentioned that Nerdy Show is entirely listener supported, and if you dug any of this process of us talking about it, hey, throw us a buck. That would be amazing. Head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. You get early release episodes for all of our programs on the entire Nerdy Show network, as well as a ton of bonus content. And yes, if you give us more, there are other awesome things in store for you. Please check it out. And remember that it really does make a difference, even a dollar. And if you're like, fuck that, I'm not going to subscribe to you, but I did like what you said. And well, okay, cool. Go to nerdyshow.com/support and give us a one-time donation. Or use us as your go-to Amazon link. Head to nerdyshow.com/Amazon and shop through our Amazon link. Bookmark it and just absent-mindedly give to us all throughout the year.
Or absinthe-mindedly.
You might be able to buy absinthe on there. I don't know. Or you might be able to buy synthesizers that you can hook up speakers to your abs to try to make some kind of interesting muscle toning through vibration.
Well, just to let you know, synth there's a
absinthe-sizers?
Well, there's a VST synth called Absinthe, so it's already
by
done.
Synthahol?
Sweet.
Yeah. You make them sick wah 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 beats.
Nice.
Yeah, dubstep.
Also, if you don't want to throw any money our way, but you do like us, or you can't throw money our way, then please consider rating and reviewing us on iTunes or Podchaser. On iTunes, yeah, you got to sign in, you got to make an Apple account, and it's a pain in the butt, but it is a really great thing for us to get the exposure that we need to keep on trucking, because we've been around a long time, and we're getting old. So help us keep on trucking by rating and reviewing us on iTunes, and Podchaser is a recent platform that is upgrading the podcast experience, so you can search things, you can discover podcasts easier, and you can also rate and review specific episodes. So if you dug this episode, hop on Podchaser, it's much easier to use than Apple, and give us reviews there.
Now this is pod chasing. Sorry. No one thought that was funny. Hey, I've got a better definition for fuckboy, and I'm going to read it to you. An asshole boy who is into strictly sexual relationships. He will lead a girl on and let her down, then apologize only to ask for... He will apologize only to ask for pics once the girl has welcomed him back into her trust. Okay.
What?
Pics,
please.
Well, when I directed shows for a few anime cons, like...
this happens.
It's just an hour and a half long cosplay skit, basically. But, like some of the shows I directed for, there was like, you know, the kids run around basically dating each other. And then one gal was just like, oh, he's just a fuckboy. I'm like, well, that's a fuckboy. Well, and just through observing their relationship, I was like, oh, yeah, he just comes in and emotionally tries to drain people and just guilt them into having more sex. I hope they need protection. They don't need kids. These little animal kids don't need kids.
Just run around breeding. Yeah. They all need to be spayed and
neutered. Well, they're all over 18, so they're adults, I guess.
There should be a spay and neutering booth at, like, anime conventions. Spay and neuter your cons, your con-goers.
Come on in. Get... What's that word where you can't have babies anymore?
Too many cosplayers.
What?
Oh, yeah, sterilized.
Sterilized!
Yeah.
Do a GoFundMe to spay and neuter those cosplayers.
Wow.
I think it'd be really cool if there were, like, vasectomy kiosks.
Yeah. That's what it's called.
That's
Thank
convenient.
You.
But that could be, like, reversed.
Exactly. I mean,
I was thinking he was, like, you know, just get radiated to where you just can't have kids
I was
anymore.
Thinking of taking a hot iron and poking him through the genitalia.
Oh, delightful.
Straight down the middle.
Yeah.
Boom.
That's how you do
that. See, be a fuckboy now.
That's how you do that.
You asshole.
So, hey, a little Nerdy Show news bulletin. I will be at North Carolina Comic Con along with Doug and Tony, a.k.a. the entire Lightning Dogs crew. Lightning Dogs is our in-development animated series here at Nerdy Show. And North Carolina Comic Con in Raleigh is March 17th and 18th. We'll be there alongside some really fine guests, including Kevin Eastman, the co-creator of Ninja Turtles, Orlando Jones from American Gods and Mad TV. He's done other things, but I knew him first from Mad TV. He also did the Make 7-Up Yours commercials. Remember
I was going to say, I know him from 7-Up.
And incredible comic book guests, including Eric Burnham, who does the wonderful Ghostbusters comic book. Tom Waltz, who does the Ninja Turtles comic book at IDW. Teenie Howard, who's done... Rick and Morty and a bunch of other stuff. Brandon Graham, a indie comics artist I've been wanting to meet for a long time, and now it's gonna happen. And we're presenting some panels. I'm doing a panel with Jen Kahn, the voice actor for Farrah from Overwatch. Fun fact, I've never bothered to play Overwatch. I don't think it's for me. I like the animation, but hey, if you got questions for her, please let me know. It's gonna be a great interview regardless, because I'm fun and charming. But
Overwatch is great.
Well, hey, Brandon, you got some questions for Farrah of Overwatch or the actor who plays Farrah?
I haven't played Overwatch in like 9 months, but it's still a great game.
I don't personally understand voice actor guests because I don't understand why people care.
They don't even play the games. They just, I mean, they
like,
could.
What question
could
I possibly have for a voice actor?
That is one of the enigmas with. I mean, because, like, you know, what you as a fan have questions about are questions for the writers and directors.
Right. Yep. Exactly. So that's why I've never understood the voice actor thing. But
it's because
I get when
not
they,
everybody
when people,
gets that.
When
you
people
know?
Ask questions like, oh, how do you get into voice acting? It's like, just, you know, Google that.
Most
you know,
of those people didn't intentionally want to be a voice actor. Like most of the voice actor panels I sat in, or at least worked tech for, all the guys are just like, I initially was just wanting to be an actor and...
Can you
I
do
got
that
voice
line?
Acting roles. Hey, can you do that line from that show?
That line from the When You're Firing a Rocket, that grunt.
Now, this isn't grunt. Directed at all to any of the Overwatch voice actors because I think their voice acting is fantastic.
They're phenomenal.
Yeah, they're great.
It's high noon.
But in regards to anime voice actors, I think the way they got those jobs is that somebody was just out on the street sign spinning and... you know, like, be a voice actor, come over here. And then they just grab people off the street who can't approach the sign spinner.
Well, that's literally what most of them said. They're just
and
like,
they're
yeah,
like
just,
yeah, yeah, sit down in front of this microphone and here, read this stupid
There are
script.
Some good ones.
With zero inflection. It's just read it as if you're a third grader who just learned how to read.
Stephen exactly. Blum is amazing.
And that's how anime dubbing happens.
Yeah, that's how most of them came into it by merely just like, you know, you got a good voice.
Maybe they're paid only $5 for, like, I don't give a shit.
Especially Johnny Young Bosch. Fuck that guy.
Look, I mean, there are bad voice actors out there, but I will never just disparage the career because there's some amazing voice actors out there who are people who I adore.
I will disparage Johnny Young Bosch.
Also, I should add, Chris Sims and Matt D. Wilson are going to be there from, a lot of fine projects, but maybe most notably to you podcasting folks, War Rocket Ajax, which we've, swapped spit with in our podcast careers from time to time.
It's not the Chris Sims who wrote the book, The Elements of Scrum?
No.
That one, because he was born,
is not.
He was born in 1942, so I don't think it's the same one.
This is the bad boy who wrote X-Men 92.
Oh,
As in the throwback X-Men comic about the idea of the 90s X-Men, as in like kind of a sequel comic to the X-Men animated series, more than it is anything in any kind of continuity.
Can anyone tell me what Scrum is?
Yeah, actually, Jess and I could go into a lot of detail about
Brandon,
Scrum.
You don't want to know.
And you do not want to know.
You don't want to know.
Because it's the most boring corporate bullshit ever.
Yeah, it's like project and time management BS with post-it notes.
So I'm going to be doing a panel called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Other Strangeness with Tom Waltz, Eric Burnham, anyone I can get who's been on a Ninja Turtles project. We're going to be talking about all the weirdness of Ninja Turtles, all the weird shit they crammed in their role-playing guides, Cuddly the Cowlick, the Rat King in all of his various incarnations, all of the strange shit that was developed for any incarnation of that series, because it is basically the weirdest piece of pop culture out there. What can't happen? You've seen the action pizza thrower. That's absurd. That's absurd.
Venus
de Milo.
Is that one?
Hey, fun fact, Brandon and Boar and I discovered that TMNT, The Next Mutation, is on Netflix right now.
The entire series.
That was possibly one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's like real bad.
Next Mutation.
One of
the
best.
Action one?
The live action one, yeah.
Where they had a crossover with the Power Rangers.
See, they, yep.
And the girl turtle, which just bothered everybody.
Venus.
Yeah.
She's in it. Oh, Shredder's outfit is amazing.
Also, Doug and I will be doing a Ghostbusters panel with Eric Burnham, the Ghostbusters writer previously mentioned. And, of course, we'll be doing a Lightning Dogs panel. So if you're anywhere near North Carolina, if you're anywhere near Raleigh, come out to North Carolina Comic-Con, a.k.a. Oak City Comic-Con, and we'll see you there March 17th and 18th.
Woohoo, North Kakalaki.
That's correct.
North Kakalaki and South Kakalaki.
I don't know what that means, but I will affirm it as true.
Kakalaki.
We live there.
I want to go to Raleigh.
Come on out, Brandon.
Did you know that their hardwood and mixed conifer forests are home to a wide variety of wildlife, including wood ducks,
he's picking up
white-tailed
his hand.
Deer,
he's holding his
Canada
hand out.
Geese, and wild turkeys?
The whiskey?
Sports and outdoor enthusiasts will find plenty to cheer about. Sorry.
Yeah,
I'm reading facts about Raleigh.
Oh, wow.
Did you go to like...
Raleigh is home to three major state museums of art, history, and natural sciences. All are free.
Stop it.
Sorry.
But that's great. Raleigh is a nice place. I like the Raleigh-Durham Durham area.
Cuisine. Sorry.
There's
cuisine.
There's great cuisine. That is a wonderful place to eat.
Wait, here's the best one. I know you want me to stop, but Raleigh is easily accessible by car, bus, rail, or airlines.
What about horse?
No.
No.
Don't bring your horse to Raleigh.
That's a hard road. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week with an all-new episode of Nerdy Show. Bye, I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm Brandon.
I'm Boar, still.
Hi, I'm Bye, and I'm Neofaust.